Greetings to each one here this morning. I greet you in the name, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That is why we are here this morning. That's why we have, I trust that's why we're gathered together to worship that person. And I'm not sure what we get excited about Christmas, at least I do. And I don't know why you get excited. And I hope you get excited for the same reason I do. But as we think about it, and Dave already alluded to it slightly, that, you know, Christmas has become very commercialized here around us. You know, everybody's in the Christmas spirit. And what's that mean? It means festivities. It means decorations. It means times of getting together. Is that why you're excited this morning? Because you're feeling the Christmas spirit here. I trust we feel a Christmas spirit, but hopefully not the same spirit that those around us do. Are you excited this morning like I am because a Savior is born? That is why I am excited this morning, is because a Savior is born. And I just want to, in my message here this morning, I just want to do a little bit of a walk through of the Bible. I have a good bit of Bible verses, passages as we go through here this morning. I don't apologize for that because I feel it's very important to be reading from the Bible. And a little bit of, I broke it into three different parts. The first part is why we need a Savior. And I'm going to just look at a few different sections or verses, chapters of why we need a Savior. And then a little bit of a Savior foretold. And then a Savior is born, finally, leading up to the Christmas story. You can turn in your Bible to Isaiah 14. It's where I've chosen to start. Look at a few verses here. And I couldn't help but think as I thought of, why do we need a Savior? I couldn't help but look back in history to when evil started. Where was the beginning of evil? Isaiah 14, starting at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which dost weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. I will stop there. Here we see Lucifer, or Satan, becoming proud and wanting to rise above God. And I believe that this is where evil started. This was the beginning of evil. And this is the point where Satan was cast out of heaven. He was a fallen angel, and there was no hope of salvation for him. But at that point in time, Jesus did not need to come to earth to die for man or come as a babe. This was actually before creation. It was only after man was created, and man was created as a perfect human being. We know that. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, man was created to live eternally. You can turn there to Genesis 2. And we know that Satan, you know, he wanted to rise above God, and then he was cast out of heaven. And ever since, he has been trying to destroy God's kingdom, to fight against God's kingdom, to destroy the plans God has. And here he tries to interrupt God's plan of an eternal human being, somebody that lives forever, somebody that's made in the likeness of God. And we're going to start in Genesis 2. Of course, this is a very familiar story here. And I'm just going to start at verse 8. Genesis 2, verse 8. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So here we know that this tree was planted that man would, if they ate of it, would know good and evil. Jumping down to 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And God commanded that if they eat, they would then know death. Jumping to chapter 3. Now the serpent, and this is back to Satan or Lucifer who had fallen from heaven. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Thou shalt not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I have commanded that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Upon the woman he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrow and thy conception, in the sorrow that thou bringest forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand to also, and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. A very sad story. And this is, at this point, is when man became sinful. And this is the point when man, at this point on, man needed a savior. When man was perfect, there was no need for any redemption. And because Adam sinned, the entire race is born with a sinful nature, and that includes you and me here this morning. We are born with this sinful nature. There's nothing, we had no choice in that. Since we are sinful, there is no way we can make ourselves not sinful or cleanse ourselves. We, in our own strength and our own power, are unable to do so. This is the reason why Jesus coming to earth is of such great importance to us this morning. That is why I am excited this morning, is because we have a way of salvation, a way of redemption. This is why we should celebrate Christmas. To us, it means there is hope. Hope for life after death. hope that we can someday be joined together with Jesus and God. Otherwise, we would be condemned to death just like Satan if Jesus had not come to make a way of redemption. Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That is why we need a Savior. And the people in the Old Testament knew that, and we talked a little bit this morning, too, about the sacrifices, and that was just a way of covering sins. It was not a way of removing sins, but just a way of covering for a Savior that would be coming later on. And the Old Testament is filled with a lot of things of a Savior being foretold. They knew about this coming Messiah. But as I wondered, as I thought about this, why did most of the Jewish nation miss his coming? And I believe some of it was because we need to remember that they were under the rule of the Romans. They were hoping for somebody who would come in, set up a kingdom, and free them from the Romans. They were not expecting a lowly babe born in a manger from Nazareth. They were expecting somebody greater, somebody more powerful. Are we ever the same as the Jews or the Jewish people of that time? Do we ever miss seeing what God is doing for us right around us, his the Savior and what he is saving us from right around us? Do we ever miss that because we're thinking or looking for something bigger and greater and miss the small details that God has placed right around us at all times? Looking at a Savior foretold, things leading up to the coming of the Messiah. Genesis 49, you can turn there. And this was just, it just tells that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, unto Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Another version, Judah will hold the royal scepter, and his descendants will always rule. Nations will bring him tribute and bow in obedience before him. So they knew what tribe Jesus would come through, what family line, right? What tribe, not actually the family line, but the tribe in this case. They also knew where he would be born. You can turn him to Micah 5. Micah 5, verses 1 and 2. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughters of troops. He hath laid siege against us. Thou shalt smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, who goeth forth to here it says he will from out of Bethlehem would be their ruler. Again, it was the Old Testament pointing forward to the coming of the Messiah and telling the Jewish people of their day, giving them glimpses of what was to come. Turn to Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Here Isaiah foretold of the virgin birth of Jesus. Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we need to remember that the Jewish people, they had these verses, and now looking back, we can see things so clearly, and we wonder how can they have missed it, or some of them missed the coming of the Messiah. Nations would seek the counsel of Jesse, and that talks of the family line of where he would come from, the family of Jesse, Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Actually, why don't you turn there to Isaiah 11. I want to read the first 10 verses. It has a lot to say about the God we serve and this coming, the one who was coming, Jesus. Isaiah 11, starting at verse 1 and read to verse 10. I read verse 1, 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the crocodile's den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be glorious. We see Jesus, his coming would bring peace, not only to comfort those who came in contact with him here on his earthly ministry. We know how while he was ministering to people here, he was healing the sick, he was comforting people. It was not only for that generation, but for every generation to follow, right up to you and me here this morning. He is a comforter, a peacemaker. That is why he came, to bring peace to his people. Messiah would also be a descendant of King David. Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. For also in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his judgment and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, he is going to be the instigator or the bringing of peace to all who follow after. And then also it was foretold of Jesus going to Egypt and coming out of Egypt, Hosea 11:1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And this goes right hand in hand with our Sunday school lesson right now, and the children coming out of Egypt. The history of Israel's coming out of Egypt was somewhat of a type of Christ's future coming out of Egypt. And we know how they fled to Egypt and then they came out, and this was also foretold in the Old Testament here. A Savior is born, leading up to a Savior is born, the actual biblical Christmas story. And many times we may get our ideas of how the Christmas scene unfolded by the Bible stories or pictures we have seen as children. And this morning I just want to read somewhat chronologically as best as I can the actual biblical Christmas story. There's two Gospels that have a fairly detailed account of the Christmas story. And we're going to start in Luke. You can turn to Luke chapter 1. I'm basically going to be between the Gospel of Luke and the book of Matthew. So you might want to just keep your finger in the book of Luke when we flip back and forth. And I just want to read this story and as we watch the scene unfold of Christ's birth and how wonderful it is for you and I today because this is our Savior and how wonderful it was also for the Jewish people of that day because their Savior was born. Luke 1, and I want to start at verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God gave unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard this salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all the generation shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He that showeth strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree, and hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. And he hath hope in his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned unto her own house. Turning back to Matthew 1. Matthew I want to continue at verse 18. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Back to Luke 2. Verse 1. And it came to pass in those days after there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all want to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judah, and unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel of the multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. And if you can go back to Matthew chapter 2, Dave already touched on this a little bit. But it's all part of the chronological part of the Christmas story of the wise men. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And though Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for this young child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed unto Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was the voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life.' And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene." And I will end there on the story. It's a beautiful story. It's a story that gets us excited. And as we see, there was just different places all through there that it says, and then this happened so that the prophecy would be fulfilled. And there was just many things that tie the Old Testament to the New Testament, to this story here, just that only a God who knows everything, a God who is sovereign over all, could bring that all together. And men many years ago wrote about the coming of the Messiah. This babe that's born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, is our Savior. This babe is the Son of God. And my challenge for you this morning is, are you like the wise men that when they had seen this babe, they went and it said they spread the news abroad. They told everybody about it. And is that what we're doing here this morning? Are we excited enough about our own personal Savior that we're willing to go out and to tell everybody else? Just in closing, I want to read the song that was in our bulletin there this morning. I really appreciate that. Because it is not our focus. Yes, we celebrate this time of year, but our focus is not just on the birth of Christ, but it's so much more than that. It's his life, his death, and what he has done for us. It's not just about the manger, where the babe he lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. Let's kneel together to pray.